Are women morally superior to men? Are they better at caring, sharing, nurturing? Do women, by virtue of their gender, bring moral values into politics? And is it feminist or is it sexist to think that they do? My guest, Katha Pollitt, writes about this in the current issue of The Nation. Pollitt is a feminist essayist and a poet. She's a regular contributor to The Nation and has also written for Mother Jones and The New York Times. All these questions came up for Pollitt when she was asked to sign a petition a few years ago.
I received in the mail a letter from an acquaintance who was the wife of a well-known writer, in which she invited me to sign a petition that was to be signed by women only, saying, you know, we women, the mothers, the caretakers, the nurturers, you know, petition the powers that be to end war, to end war, to resist Cold War jingoistic rhetoric, and to use the military budget for beneficial social purposes. And it was a conflict for me. What difference does it make if you're a caregiver, a nurturer, or a mother when it comes to some issue that affects the whole human race? I didn't have any children. And that got me thinking, too, because I thought, now, am I being given credit for potential maternity, you know? Or is it that, well, you're not a mother, but we're going to overlook this as long as you kind of admit the moral supremacy of those of us who are? And the more I thought about it, the sort of the confusion between the category mother and the category woman, the way that this issue of immense importance to the entire human race had was turned into the particular moral responsibility of half of it, the less I found myself able to have anything to do with this petition. And then, in my irritating way, I spent hours writing a letter explaining this to this poor woman. And in the end, I decided not to mail it, and I simply let the whole thing slide. And I'm glad I did that.
Well, you say that this whole idea of, you know, women uniting for peace, women having a special affinity for issues pertaining to peace, is like the leftist version of family values.
Well, yes. And in my piece, I do say that not just the connection of women with peacefulness, but also with kind of kinder, gentler values in general, with being compassionate, with being having what Carol Gilligan calls an ethic of caring. I see that, like right-wing family values, quote-unquote, as both coming out of the Victorian notion of the separate spheres, in which this is an idea that we think of as old as time, but it really isn't. It's really a 19th century idea that came in with industrialism. Women in the Victorian era who wanted to have some kind of impact politically and in the public world were able to use this separate spheres ideology to get a place from which to speak. They could say, all right, you know, the family is our concern, but look at society. You can't raise a family in a society like this. Therefore, I have to go out and fight for the vote, for example. This was a very powerful argument in favor of the vote, was that women were more moral than men, and therefore giving women the vote would improve government. Women were able to use this ideology to gain a place for themselves in public life up to a certain point, but it was quite limited because you could only gain that place in public life to the extent that you could connect it in some way to your domestic virtue.
You said that although difference feminism is couched in the language of praise about how caring and nurturing and so on women are, that it's actually demeaning to women. How do you find it demeaning to women? And maybe you could connect that to the petition that you decided not to sign.
Oh. Well, I think it's demeaning to people to say, you get your rights in this society and you get listened to in the society to the extent that you are virtuous, angelic, pure, and better. Because most people aren't very virtuous, angelic, pure, or good. And it becomes a way of is really saying you're not human. You have to be better than that. I mean, imagine if any other sort of excluded or minimized group had to make its claim on the basis of being extra good. They wouldn't do it. Only women fall for this kind of thing.
Being a mother now, you're raising a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Have you driven yourself crazy at all in trying to prevent your daughter from falling into stereotype behavior? Have you been nervous about her playing with dolls or anything? Do you know?
Well,
like, oh, I should give her a fire truck instead.
Well, you know, I don't see what's so great about fire trucks. I mean, you know, men aren't so great. They spent their childhood playing with fire trucks, and look at them, you know? I mean, I think that it's interesting that when people sort of talk about gender stereotyping among children, the examples they always go to are the things that the girls do, as though that's automatically bad. And it would be better if the girl played with the boy's toy. I think it's good to talk about the ways at which it might be better if the boy played with the girl's stereotypical toy. But I would say, you know, Barbie was hard for me. I hate Barbie. And I hate her because I think she really is connected, along with all the... It's not just one thing, but I think she's really part of the package that gives girls terrible, terrible ideas about their bodies. And so Sophie wanted a Barbie, and she kept asking me for one. And finally I said, you know, Sophie, I have to say, you know, it really bothers me that Barbie, you know, her legs are much longer than a real woman could have. And look, you know, her breasts are so big and pointy, and her neck, you know, couldn't possibly be the neck of a real person. And I thought I was being sort of... presenting it in a not ideological but just sort of realistic kind of way. And then she brought up Barbie again, and I said, well, remember how we were talking about Barbie? And she said, yeah, you said you didn't like her legs. You know, and I realized, you know, she's 4 years old. This whole thing is, you know, went completely by her. All she thought was, well, stuffed animals.
Are there other things that you've really wanted to resist? You know, popular gifts or cultural items or games or whatever that really kind of for social or political or feminist reasons really bug you, but your daughter really wants them and you don't know what to do.
Well, the Berenstain Bears are something like that. She's too young for board games still. She doesn't understand that you don't always get to win. But the Berenstain Bears, which is a very popular series of children's books, I find disturbing because it's a completely 1950s family in which it's mother bear, father bear, sister bear, and brother bear. Everyone is completely defined by their role in the family, of course. And mother bear takes care of everybody. She's always right. She's the sort of heavy. She's the kind of the family nurse, policeman, minister. It's mother knows best. Dad is a total jerk and a goof-off. And everything about it is, it's not just its retrograde family politics. It's also just everything about it is on the sort of the minimal level of imagination and drawing level and language level. Now, Sophie adores these books. Kids love things that are in a series where they get to collect them all, and there is an infinite supply of Berenstain Bear books. And each one deals with a little problem in one of the children's lives. For example, Mama's new job. She starts a quilt shop. And the kids are worried that she won't be there to cook for them. She adores these books, and so I get them for her. I just think, you know, say on the one hand, darling, I want you to be an individual when you grow up, and then deny them their individuality, you know? I mean, I read the books I want to read, and my parents always let me read comic books, which were the big supposed destroyer of youth in the 50s. And they always let me have them. They thought, well, at least she's reading, you know? And I sort of feel that way about Sophie and the Berenstain Bears. I hate them, but she loves them, and so she's interested in books, and we can talk about some of the ideas that are expressed in them, although she's not too interested in that discussion, I have to say.
Writer Katha Pollitt, her article, Are Women Morally Superior to Men, is in the current issue of The Nation. This is Fresh Air.